I was there for an AI convention or retreat.
Welcome to the September 11th, 2013 Tacoma Landmarks Preservation Commission. Thanks for your patience. We now have a quorum and the agenda. First item on agenda is roll call. Those present include Commissioners House, Eckley, Street, Steele, York, and yet another commissioner who's ex officios, Buffington and McClintock. There's no other excusable absences. Next item on the agenda is the consent agenda, including items A, excusable absences, and B, meeting minutes. I don't think we have any meeting minutes. And I don't think we have any excusable absences. I guess we still move approval of the consent agenda. I move approval of consent agenda. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor of the consent agenda, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Consent agenda is approved. Third item on the agenda is National Register review.
Mr. Chair, what I was going to suggest is I don't think there's anybody here for the National Register review since we have applicants. We could go ahead and move these people ahead and then move that one to the.
So we'll move to item four on the agenda, design review, and item A is now 809 North Sheridan Street, North Slope Historic District Garage. North Street, Tom. Feel free to join us at the table. We'll start with a staff report and then you're welcome to add any comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is 809 North Sheridan Avenue, the North Slope Historic District. It's a new garage. The house at 809 North Sheridan is a four-square form house built in 1907. This application was to construct a new 16-by-24-foot detached garage at the rear property to be accessed from the alley. The garage will be sided with smooth face, hard plank siding, and a bevel pattern with 5-inch reveal. The North Slope Historic District design guidelines that apply to this are guidelines for parking and garages. Alley access parking is a typical and predominant residential parking configuration in the district. Residential driveways and garages facing the street are typically only appropriate when there is no alley access. Secondly, minimize views of parking garages from the public right-of-way. Parking areas and garages should be set toward the rear block to minimize visibility of the primary rights of way. Guidelines for new construction, exterior materials. Cementitious products such as hardy plank may be acceptable in the district if it's installed in a historically correct pattern. In such cases, the product used shall be smooth in texture. And guidelines for new construction with rhythm of openings. Regarding windows, new structures should utilize existing historic window patterns in their design. Windows should be vertically oriented. Large horizontal expanses of glass may be created by gaining two or more windows in new series. Historically, the typical window in the district was a double-hung sash window. Casement windows were commonly used for closets, nooks, and less commonly as a principal window type in the structure. Analysis, the property 809 North K Street is within the North Slope Historic District. A new construction requires review and approval of the commission per TMC 1305.047. Secondly, there is no existing garage structure on the site. Thirdly, the detached alley access garage is consistent with the guidelines for garages. The new structure set into the rear of the property will be minimally visible from the street. Item four, the proposed cladding is consistent with the guidelines for materials for new construction. And item five, this single horizontal siding window is not typical for the historic district. A vertical oriented sash window would be more consistent with design guidelines for windows in new construction. However, because the structure is minimally visible from the street, this will not create a significant visual impact on the district. I did communicate with Mr. Ramsey, asked about the possibility of a vertically oriented window. I think he was going to check with his contractor on that. Staff recommends approval of the application with the additional recommendation that we don't consider a vertically operated window removal horizontal.
Thank you. Free to add anything to the staff report, or will?
Only thing I could add is everything Ruben said is where we're at with the window. We're basically put a vertical hung sash window or sash style window. The other thing is under your analysis, item one is 809 North Sheridan.
Okay.
Put it away.
Okay.
Thank you.
Apologize for that.
We'll open for discussion.
We already have an approved permit on this?
The permit's in process. We moved in. The permit has not been issued, but it's been reviewed.
Is this already underway?
The
the clearing has taken place and we're ready to start forming. So once
so you're on, in process.
Correct.
Is it going to have a garage door at both ends?
Correct.
And the garage door that faces the alley is the one with the garage door centered on the gable end?
Correct.
Situated just adjacent to the existing driveway, is that right?
The existing driveway has been removed. The garage will be offset 5 feet from the property line to the left of that photo. Okay. And that's where the garage will be located.
So you won't have the driveway there?
The driveway will be removed and then that will become part of the garage lab. The remaining portion of the driveway you see or possibly can see on the backside close to the house will remain. Access to an underground house garage.
So you just the idea is to go through the garage and
through the garage.
Access.
Maybe that's why you have garage doors on two sides?
Correct, yeah. The garage under the house is too low to get a vehicle in.
Oh.
But if I want to be able to unload load things in there, that is much easier to have a drive through.
Nice.
It looks like in the wall section, the hardy plank siding has a 7-inch exposure.
On the drawings when we submitted for the permit, it was called out for 7-inch, and
okay.
Then since that time, I received notes from Ruben
okay.
saying that the recommendation or the requirement pretty much is 5-inch,
okay.
which then is what we're going to do.
Okay.
Cool. Any other comments or questions? Thanks for considering the changes. Wait one more minute.
I have one more question. There's no casing shown on any of the windows and doors?
Correct.
Was there a plan for any casing, or is it a brick mold? Or?
I'm not quite for sure. The design on it was done by my contractor.
Oh, okay.
And he was going to use the drawings for it. My intent is to be able to put some trim around the garage doors and the ends of each of all the corners.
Okay.
So, my comment, I think it's a fine plan for a new garage in the back there. I would like to see that the motion include a final sign-off by Ruben on terms of the various things that...
the long window and cases.
Yeah, exactly. You know, just to make sure that gets...
Make the plan notes.
Yeah.
With that caveat, I'd recommend the Landmark Preservation Commission accept the proposal and approve it.
Motion by Commissioner York. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Commissioner Hoos. Is there any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, those in favor of the motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed, say no. So the motion is approved, and hopefully we'll explain.
So I'll let our, I think it's Craig probably has this, application and for permits, and so I'll let him know and go ahead and make the notes on the plan sheets, and I'll let him know that it's okay for me.
Okay, do you know possibly when that would be passed on to Craig?
I can do that actually immediately after this meeting. I'll make the notes and send it on to him, and then tomorrow I think he should be able to work with it.
Okay, sounds good.
Thanks
for
working.
Appreciate it.
Okay. Next item under design review is 915 North M Street, in the North Slope Historic District, a window replacement. And join us with your sample. And again, we'll start with the staff report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is 915 North M Street in the North Slope Historic District. This is the application to replace the windows on the front elevation. Built in 1922, the condominium building in 915 North M is a contributing structure in the North Slope Historic District. This is an application to replace 6 windows on the front facade with new fiberglass clad wood windows. The existing windows consist of a wood picture window flanked on both sides by non-historic aluminum casement windows. The new windows will replicate the existing dimensions and configuration of the existing windows, with the exception that the new casement windows will reintroduce the existing the divided light pattern that was from the historical window configuration. And I think there's a newspaper clipping from when the building was constructed that shows that divided light pattern. the standards from the North Slope Historic District that apply include guidelines for windows, repair original windows when possible. Original wood windows are in disrepair, should be repaired if feasible. The feasibility of different approaches depends on the conditions, estimated cost, and total project scope. Examples of substandard conditions that do not necessarily warrant replacement include failed glazing, compound, broken glass panes, windows painted shut, deteriorated paint surface, and loose joinery. These conditions alone do not justify window replacement. Repair of roofs or cracked glazing, loose joinery, or stuck sashes may be suitable for carpenter or handy person. Significant rock deterioration or reconstruction of failed joints may require the services of a window restoration company. Item 3, replace windows with a close visual and material match. When replacing original windows is not feasible, replacement may be considered. Where replacement is desired, the new windows should match the old in design and other details, and where possible, materials. Certain window products, such as composite clad windows, closely replicate the original appearance and therefore may be appropriate. This should be demonstrated to the Commission with material samples and product specification sheets. Changing the configuration, style, and pattern of original windows is not encouraged generally. Invinyl windows are not acceptable as replacement windows in the historic district. The staff analysis, the building at 915 North M Street is a contributing structure and requires Landmarks Commission approval for changes prior to permits being issued. Item 2, the original casement windows are missing and have been replaced by non-historic and architecturally inappropriate aluminum casement windows. Originally, the casement windows were 8-light wood windows. Item 3, although the existing center wood window is a wood frame picture window and likely original to the building, picture windows are not ornate and do not possess highly distinguishing elements. The installation of new windows with architecturally compatible casement side windows will be a significant architectural improvement to the window configuration, and therefore staff recommends approval.
Thank you. You'd like to add anything to the staff report, or
we want you to look at this.
No,
especially since you brought it.
Since you got
thank you for doing
it all the way up here. What's the manufacturer of the window bar?
It's Milgard.
Okay.
Yeah. Milgard Essence.
So the picture windows are being replaced as well as the casement windows.
Yes.
And those picture windows are original wood, right?
They are.
That's the part I have kind of problems with. I appreciate the fact that they are, the picture windows are not particularly, don't add a lot, let's say, to the overall look. I'm not sure that necessarily is a deal breaker here, but it worries me.
One comment on that. You know, I first started looking into replacement windows 10 years ago when we didn't have what I felt the options that we do now for composite materials. And as long ago as 10 years ago, I worked with, for lack of another term, he was a window broker. Mm-hmm. You know, window broker. And I asked him about that because my first choice was to replace the casements. And he said, you'll never find an installer to do composite or casements or around a wood window. That it does need to be one type of material, or we'll have the same problem that we have now with the aluminum. And we heard it again now. Okay. So that's the history.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
There is a casing that wraps the window opening as it is now, a wood casing. Would there be, if the full window opening were replaced, would there still be a casing that wrapped the jamb and the head of the window? A wood casing?
You know what? I'm going to have to look at that picture.
Okay.
The answer is yes, and where the wood needs to be replaced will be replaced.
I understand your concern, Marshall, and I think it's a legitimate concern, but I also think that properly installing a casement window that would match the existing picture window in the middle and performing that in a way that is feasible and economical and all of those things is a real challenge. And so there's the always the durability question that, any building owners are concerned with, and I think a reasonable compromise might be that we would allow the full window opening to be replaced as so long as there's a casing at the head and the jambs and perhaps even the sill, depending on how that works with the window manufacturer. But I do think it would be a problem to try and mold a wood picture window with the aluminum windows and not have the same problem that we have here. So I think it's a legitimate solution that you're proposing.
So the amount of wood that would remain would be the top, and but would the window, the new window, replace the sill at the bottom?
Right. The sill will stay as it is, but we'll probably put a new sill in.
Okay.
Where we have to, we'll put a new sill in. Yeah.
Yeah. That particular window that goes up is my unit, and I'm the worst. thank you, Aaron. And that sill has, I've been there 25 years. The windows, the exterior front windows have been painted twice since that time, and that sill has, in addition to the twice painted, that sill has been replaced and painted an additional time. And it looks as though that would need to be replaced again.
I wasn't, concerned about that. That particular piece
that
of
be
wood,
right.
I just want to make sure I understood where the wood stops and the new windows start. Thank you.
I think they're pulling the operable, the picture and the operable. The
these
whole
three
thing.
In the center,
oh,
those are all
the pictures. That they would get a shot hole.
Yes.
Where
the
come out as all one.
The panes in the middle. Are
in.
Not original.
I'm not quite sure about the
stained glass.
The glass is not original, but the original glass is on the top and then right up above the entry. Yeah,
okay.
And I don't
so
know
those
if
two
you,
original glass
yes.
And the middle one
yeah.
Is replaced.
Right. But the
we're not.
No, we're not.
No,
I
was
yeah.
Just curious. Yeah.
The historic photo shows that the original casement windows were 8 light,
yes.
8 sections, but the new casement windows will be one single.
No, then they will be 8.
Will they have the mullions and everything to divide them?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, they're going to have the grids on both sides on the exterior of the glass.
Okay. Right.
Space.
And it's a kind of sculpt. It's not flat. It's a sculpted pattern. To keep it.
It'll look really nice.
I think it will. We wanted to get back to that, and it only shows...
Very
right
slightly.
There, very slightly, but I thought it was worth it to show that, again, happens to be my unit. And so we did want to replace those.
You know, in looking at this, one concern that I do have is if these come out as one unit, we've got a three-part window, we've got the casement and the picture window and the casement, and they are of a material which is unlike any of the other sort of window frame or wood trim on the building, it may dramatically alter the kind of scale of the fenestration on the building, the kind of windows and how they're partitioned are going to look like very large windows. And I think a solution for that might be to add wood frame posts between the windows. I don't know if that makes sense.
We're replacing them. It's just going to be one window that goes in.
Yeah, and that's where I think it might. That's my concern.
You want to make sure there's a mullion spacing.
I think so.
The casements in the picture.
I'm imagining what this might look like if it were, let's say, a dark bronze color or a black color. The outside. If we spin that window around, we're going to have an aluminum cladding on there. And what I'm imagining it to look like is on older homes when you see the sash painted black, but you see the casing for
this
the window.
This is white. This is going to be white.
Painted white? Okay,
yes,
so the whole
is
thing
white.
Is white.
This
white.
Is just the sample that's the wrong color.
Okay. Well, we're not really supposed to speculate on color, but that's my fear is that if it weren't white or painted a similar color to the trim, that it would start to look like
the trim's going to be white, the window's going to be white.
Yeah.
Is that, that makes sense?
Yeah, we are not supposed to tell you what color to paint things, but I think that helps.
It's only sensible to have white.
I think that the sample is to show the profile, and also if you look at the corner, like the joinery corner is a style rail, you know, it's instead of having like a miter corner,
yep,
for instance.
Okay. Well, I'll defer to the expertise of my fellow commissioners here, and I think it's great to see this happening in the in this apartment building. You know, that set of apartment buildings right there. Is it Miller's Corner, I think, or something like that? But anyway,
yeah.
But great to see the investment and see the care that's being taken.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think there's been clearly significant planning and thought going into assuring that it's going to stay true to its style and design.
Thank you.
Can I mention the existing center windows don't appear to be in the best of shape, but it looks to me that they might be salvaged, so you might consider donating them to a salvage yard. Someone might be able to reuse them in another project. There's one here in Tacoma now called Earthwise.
Yeah, I know Earthwise, yeah.
Yeah, you might contact them and see if they'd be interested in getting the old windows rather than just taking them to the landfill.
Okay.
Yeah, they'll come in and take them.
Really?
Take them out for you.
Oh, yeah, we know.
Is it just one more question? Is it just the front windows that are being replaced, or is it all the way around? It's just this front facade.
Yes.
And are those all the living room sides of the units?
Yes.
Okay.
Ready for a motion? Approve the replacement of windows for the address of 915 North M Street as outlined by second. The applicant. A motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor of the motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, say no. Motion's approved. Project's approved.
Thank you so much.
So I'll have a written decision for you in the next few days. In the meantime, if your installer wants to come in and pick up permits before that, just have them contact me or let me know, and we'll get you on your way.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
It only took 10 years to get green light.
I've been working on it 10 years.
Are you guys going to do the Old City Hall right now? I'm interested in the Old City Hall.
Is
this an open meeting?
Yes.
Can we
stay
just to hear about the Old City Hall?
Okay. I just want to say, Barbara and I met when we both worked in Old City Hall.
Wow.
Yeah. That office
is
there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Barbara, the
restaurant. Yes, she did. Unfortunately.
So.
Five, board briefing in Old City Hall.
Okay, we'll get in and I'll circle back. Just don't let me forget to circle back to the Central School nomination at the end.
Okay.
So this is an update. I think the commission was briefed in this last August meeting about the current status of Old City Hall and the enforcement action that is underway on it. We're currently working with the owner to figure out the best way to stop the roof leak in the Northeast Tower. That's our primary interest right now. There are other issues with the building that are building code issues, but really the three primary things that the city's interested in right now are the leaking roof in the Northeast Tower, the condition of masonry on the facade of the building, as we, people probably recall, last winter, during a heavy rain and windstorm, some bits of brick flew off the roof of the building. They probably didn't come from the face of the building. We think they came actually from the chimney liner on the roof, but at any rate, we need to have more information about the condition of that and if it's stable. So we're requesting information about that, and then also the fire protection systems for the building need to be dealt with. The building currently doesn't have utilities activated, and so the ownership has to work on that. At any rate, the city has issued a dangerous buildings enforcement letter to the owners. We've met with the owner several times. We are working through, like I said, there's a whole litany of, or a whole list of issues that the city wants to see corrected, but our primary issues are those, the roof, the masonry, and the fire protection for the building. When we last briefed the commission, the roof was really the big issue that we're working on. In your packets, I'll get to the stuff in your packets because I want to make sure that's clear what you're looking at. But the city, if the owner is not able to replace the roof or repair the leak, is prepared to take action. And you'll probably, we actually anticipate bringing an actual specification and plan to the commission for formal review on the 25th of September. What was in your packets, a couple of different things, not in my packet apparently, but in your packets. There was a condition assessment and recommendations that were done by Weatherholt & Company, which is a roofing consultant, a building envelope consultant, actually. They came out and visited the building back in May. We haven't had the report since May, but that's the title of the cover, or the cover sheet, is back when we first asked them to take a look at the building. It makes some recommendations for repair of the building and an assessment. In that, there's a couple of cost comparisons. Those cost comparisons, you know, are not particularly relevant right now because there are other costs associated with it. That's just the general construction cost. There's project management. There's things like prevailing wages and other things like that that figure into to the overall scope. The city is going to propose, if we do make the roof repairs, to basically do a long-term temporary fix. What that means, and I think I told the commission this at their last meeting, that that's going to be architectural composition roof. The copper roof on the building will be removed along with the structurally failing cornice work, which is actually structurally attached through the gutter system into that roof. Right now we're working with we're trying to work with our experts to figure out a way to disassemble that so that can be documented and you know, well enough that can be fabricated again when the time comes. So what you have here is most likely it's composition roof shingles. It's not the architectural solution for the building. They're shingles. And then what you see here in this AEP span color chart is actually what will be used to seal up under the soffits. Because basically the way the roof works, it's there's a heavy beam pyramidal roof there. It overhangs by probably about 3 feet on the perimeter walls there. That is enclosed right now probably about 50% by a copper cornice system. There's several places where that's actually totally gone. And there's also places on the pieces of the roof where the shingles themselves are totally gone, where wind actually is uplifted. They're all nailed on in their section pieces and not sheets. And what's happened is they're getting loose, and here's Lisa to come help me out. But anyways, so the two concerns really are wind and rain. The rain is actually getting through. You can see in the different corners where the beams come out to the walls. You can actually see water incursion coming through there. And I think there's photographs in the report. And then through the roof membrane itself, which is bringing the plaster down to the floor. And then wind is actually getting through underneath the soffits in these big wide open spaces that are wide open right now, and also directly through the roof and actually peeling back some of the shingles as the wind starts and when it kicks up. And so the concern is not only with long-term water damage, but actually in a high wind event, there's a very good chance that some large chunks of this copper work could come right off the building. And I was actually up there this afternoon in the pigeon carcasses. So that's the situation. We've I've discussed a couple of times, and I'm just saying this because I want the commission to know, you know, is it possible to do a spot repair in certain areas of the membrane, like, you know, get up there and find out where the leaks are and then patch that spot? And the answer is really no. The tiles themselves are coming off the building. And we've also talked about, can you put in some sort of internal system, which would be basically creating, like, inside the roof, creating something which the roof would still fail, and you'd have to create a water management system inside the building to get it out. And the roof decking itself is getting water in it, and so that's not considered to be a practical thing. I asked about maybe cladding over the copper itself somehow with, like, you know, pieces of material. There's just no way to seal it, and it doesn't protect it from the wind. And so the commission at the last meeting had a couple of questions about, well, what's the recourse, what's the sort of the accountability to this, if this, you know, this is not what you'd want to see on the building architecturally. It's one of those balancing acts between things flying off the building, water getting into the building, and being able to seal that up if the owner cannot do it or won't do it. At, you know, the city's cost, and we have to lien the property back for the cost of the repairs. So just to be clear, what the specifications that you're probably going to see in your next meeting is removing the existing copper tile and the failed cornice pieces, storing of that material in documentation, and that's something I'm working on right now. We are going to try to bring somebody in that's going to be able to document that well enough so that they could be fabricated again. The putting on a weather membrane to repair the decking where necessary, or the sheeting, putting on a what's probably going to be a self-adhering ice and water shield membrane, and that will immediately seal the roof from water. And then for wear purposes, the composition roof will go on. We're working on ways to get this back to the commission in terms of, like, the long-term, bigger picture, and so signaling some intent. I know the commission said at the last meeting, well, what, you know, we have some concerns with, you know, if that goes on, will it ever come off? Will it ever be restored? And so, first of all, being able to actually do the restoration, have enough information, we're going to try to make sure the disassembly occurs in a way that we collect that information and don't lose it. Secondly, the commission may want to introduce, if there's a motion to approve this temporary measure, some sort of stipulation. It's hard to bring people back to the table, but just to signal the intent that the condition is that you'll revisit this issue, this will come back. You can even say at the, you know, when there's a future design review on the project, the commission will discuss this, the owner will discuss this. And the second thing is, and Lisa probably can illuminate on this, but we're working to try to have some sort of requirement that the owner comes to the commission to discuss the restoration of the roof to a more architecturally appropriate solution at the point when there's a rehab project that's going forward on it, inside of whatever agreement that the city makes with the owners. It's called a stipulated agreement, where we actually sign an agreement that lays out all the responsibilities and so forth that we have going in to repair the roof, and what the owner will do and what the outcome will be. And based on the Landmarks Commission's concern, I've requested to put a piece in there that says when the building undergoes a future rehabilitation, that the Landmarks Commission, the owner will return to the Landmarks Commission to discuss the restoration of the architectural features and the roof. That, you know, at the very, very least, is very clear in the intent, and it will be a signed document. The other piece of it is, of course, is that any rehab project is also going to be a tax leverage project. There'll be a historic rehab tax credit on it if it gets wheels. There has to be, there should be. There'll be a special tax valuation on it. Special tax valuation the commission will have a piece of, in terms of that's your approval authority too. So those are sort of our touch points back to this. But really the purpose of the briefing today was to sort of get you guys ready for that. And if there's any questions you have, or additional concerns. We're moving forward on this at a pretty fast rate because our weather window is closing really fast on us. And so trying to do all of the due diligence and trying to get the agreement that we need and everything like that, and try also to control the cost, all these things together are sort of the you know, the multiple fronts we're looking at. And so, like I said, the weather window is shrinking, but really, you know, if we get it, as my understanding is, if we have enough dry weather where we can do the removal and then get the ice and water shield on, we have to have dry wood decking to get that on the building. Once that's on the building, then they can work in rain. So, and that will be the critical factor right there. And then we will no longer have rain coming in the building. And the other questions I have, and we can try to collect more information if needed on this, but the copper roof on the building is shot. It is shot. So the options would be to in hand formed or barrel formed, you know, whatever, somebody would have to actually fabricate that if we're going to do that, or we'd be looking at another similar type of copper tile that was already made by some manufacturer that maybe from, you know, 100 feet looks pretty much the same. We don't know that part yet, but that's also, again, that's probably beyond the cost scope for what we're going to do now as an abatement action for the city. So, and like I said, the roof goes along with the copper gutter system, which then goes along with the entablature beneath it. And I have got pictures on my phone that I can share with the commission at the next meeting. But the entablature is held on by angle iron brackets. Those angle iron brackets are actually, some of them are corroded, probably 90% of the way through. The copper work is then wired onto that using like baling wire size wire, and then attached up underneath the roof soffit with blocks, you know, of 2x4s and things like that that were just kind of nailed up in there. And so that wood structure is failing, the angle irons themselves are failing, and then where those things are pulling away. Like you'll see, there's some brackets that actually go even further down that were anchored in there, where those pieces have come off. Water's actually getting past the face brick, also into the brick itself. So that'll have to be covered up as well. And so the idea will be that there will be a sheet metal piece that covers up all of the non-facade brick where like the anchors have failed, and then run at an angle up underneath the soffit, and then there will be a new membrane and a roof put on top of that. And that will take care of the water for the near future. So,
I think you summarized it pretty well. I mean, that's the first time that I had been up there. I know you've been up there before, Ruben. But the other thing I would add is the roof folks and weather holes that we had up there seemed like they have a lot of experience. I think they'd mentioned, I don't know if you heard that they had done the roof on Union Station, and so I think they have some really good experience, and they seem to be getting right in there and getting to the crux of how they can fix things. So,
go ahead. Is the hearing still scheduled for September 18th?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Has there been any indication from the current owners that they're going to come up with a plan, or
they are working on it?
Yeah.
The city would really rather not do this for a number of reasons, and I'm sure the owner would really rather not have the city do it either. It's expensive, and so they're working on their own side with their own consultants, seeing what they can put together too. I mean, the bottom line is they have to take action, and if they don't take action, then the city's taking action, and we're proceeding on that path because we cannot wait to have wait and see what your answer might be, because like I said, that our opportunities are shrinking, and then we'll just be stuck in another really nasty season, and so we are proceeding along the enforcement path. The owner can do what they can do. They say they're working on it, and so we will wait to see what we shall see what they can put together to address this issue themselves. But in the meantime, the city's assuming that the we'll have to continue down our path so that we don't lose our ability to do that. So,
do you need feedback from us then on the point of the color samples for feedback or just information? That's one question I had. Second question I have is about the copper itself. It comes off the building and potentially gets stored in the basement.
Correct.
It's documented, but it still belongs to the owner.
Correct.
So there's an some level, it seems to me, speculating that there's an artifactual value of the copper, but there's also just a monetary value of the copper. So the city pays to
to remove it and to replace it with the shingles, the owner, there's nothing I would assume would stop the owner from taking it to Simon and Sons and recycling it and getting some value for it. So they lose the artifact and he gains some value, or does it sit there? My preference would be it would sit there, but it sounds like there's no real use for it other than just as a design, since it can't be reinstalled. None of it can be reinstalled.
So
I'm kind of working to a question there somewhere.
No, I think I
understand. What happens to the copper?
The plan is, and I think you raised an interesting question, the plan is that the copper will be stored on site. And the purpose of storing it on site is so that there is design information, fabrication information for the next person that comes in, if it be this current owner or whatever, to basically redesign that piece.
But legally, would anything stop him from just taking, or the owner, whoever the owner is, selling it?
Included in the stipulation that is signed?
I think it, given that the building is not occupied and that buttoning up the building is a challenge, and the value of the copper and the amount of metal thievery that we have in this city at this point, in this region, probably everywhere right now, I think it's a good idea to document it and store it so that in case it does disappear, that the design is well documented.
Yes.
And whether that's paying Weatherholt to draw elevations and sections of what the metal profile look like.
Correct.
I think that's critical that that's done in addition to storing it.
And that is actually, we were talking about that today, was what I want to do is bring in what's called the Habs Hair or documentation expert. I don't need a full Habs Hair report on something. What I need is I need somebody that has that ability to document design, and then both assembly detail and attachment detail and the actual dimensions.
Yeah.
So, yes, we will bring somebody in to do that. And then obviously the idea of storing it is there's nothing better than to be able to pick up the big piece and say, okay, what does this look like? Okay, can I hand it to the guy and say, make this? But in lieu of that, I would like to have measured drawings to show those details too. And so photographs, drawings, and we're going to work on finding somebody to do that. So.
Can we talk or not? Can we talk?
Sure.
Because I have just a little tidbit for you.
Okay.
I was, there was a guy that was working in the Washington building who was managing the Washington building, which is owned by the same owners as the old City Hall, this group in Seattle. And he asked me, I don't even know how I got in, I don't know how this ever happened, but he asked me to put together a crew to clean that building up because they were having artists visit. And they were having a big function there. This was like 4 years ago or something, to introduce artists to the building in hopes that they would rent some of those spaces, those floors that have been gutted. Mm-hmm. And there were homeless people living in there. There were pigeons flying. It was absolutely. I was in there a lot, and it was horrible. The owners wrote me a bad check, and I never got my money. I just have to tell you, these people are not very credible. I'm sure you probably already know that. They don't pay. It wasn't any huge amount of money, but they wouldn't answer my phone calls. I'm just telling you that because they're pretty crummy, actually. Huh?
Thank you.
That's
Lawson.
Yeah, it's Lawson.
Yeah. Yeah. Ruben, I want to thank you and the city for the planning. Everything that's gone into this so far, I think that the plan that you put together to hold the building together if the owners don't step up and do something is excellent. It's sad to see the copper roof go away for a while, but the idea of putting ice and water shield on there and then the SBS roofing, that's probably one of the highest wind rated roofs that in composition you can get. It's a great idea to keep it intact until they get back, until something happens. And, so I appreciate the plan.
Thank you.
Ruben, back to your comment, Ken, that I do believe, and Ruben, that's maybe something we want to look at that stipulated agreement again. I don't believe at this point there would be anything to, unless we specifically request it, for them to retain the copper. I mean, you know, even if it's like stored on site, I mean, I don't think that we have anything beholding them to that at this point, but we could, you know, at this point we've been kind of saying doing a draft stipulated agreement, and we could add that language to it, but in our dangerous building order, we did not really, you know, we didn't contemplate, or the complaint, we didn't contemplate storage of the roof, so we'll have to follow up on that, because
it does seem like an issue that if it's stored in the building, it's going to disappear one way or the other. Either the owner sells it or somebody steals it. So
yeah.
If we want to preserve it beyond the drawings, we need to do something else. And, you know, it does seem like it presents the owner with some level of value that they could, right or wrong, profit from.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There you go.
But I agree with
recycling, get your money back.
Yeah, there you go.
I was going to make a comment off the record. So.
We're on the record, so.
Oops. And so I'm correct. There's none of this. There's none of the glass piece that encloses any part of this. There's this one picture that kind of looks a little like there is, but there's not any part of the roof that's enclosed within this
atrium. No,
area.
No, that's a separate piece. And actually, the atrium back in 2010 did have a big old hole in the roof, and they did fix that because the water was coming in by the trash can full, basically. And so that was taken care of. But no, that's just a separate structure. It just happens to be in the way of all our V-shots.
Sure.
And so,
so there's going to be a pretty substantial amount of flashing, or I guess, for lack of a better term, this metal up to
sheet metal. Yeah.
Sheet metal, just because there's a substantial amount of copper around the base of the roof. So that's going to be pretty noticeable, it sounds like.
Probably, yes.
So.
I think especially from the approach down Stadium Way, which just opened. And so, you know, the commission, if there are any thoughts on the pallet, you know, this is a great time to start thinking about that. This is provided, I mean, we haven't figured all that out yet. But, you know, probably not white. And the copper color there, right?
I
vote for electric movement.
I would say that given that this is not in any way indicative of the original texture of the roof or of the cornice or of anything like that, I would suggest that we choose something that is noticeably not original to the building, that's still complementary, like the cool weathered copper brown, something like that that doesn't jump out at you, but at the same time in no way tries to look like weathered copper.
Yes, it will, and it won't. So, I mean, and that was actually, I had a similar thought, just something that is subdued, consistent with the palette, but in no way does any sort of, doesn't attempt to create the, you know, patina or anything like that.
I said weathered copper. I'm looking at the color weathered copper, yes. Which actually does not look like weathered copper.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking about
that. So it's confusing. But
I would agree with that as well. Something's more subdued.
It's the
faded.
Well, there's already a composition refund on
the south tower, actually. We don't know when that was done. I spoke to Michael Sullivan, actually, the other day about that. He was there already when he became a preservation officer in the early 80s. And so that may have been installed, actually, when the clock tower itself actually has a shingle roof on it, too, that we think may have been put on when the last big project happened with the building, when it was converted to the interior mall space. Which would be late in the 70s. So actually, that roof was probably close to the, you know, it's at the twilight years of its existence too. And so the rest of the roof membrane looks good. The other one thing I wanted to make sure, just because it's all in, all the stuff that was in here, I threw a bunch of stuff into the packet. Like I said, we're kind of moving in this direction, is that you saw a bid spec and work summary in your packets too. This is just, this is a bid spec that the city has, and so this does not necessarily, there's alternates and different things in there. This doesn't necessarily represent the scope of work, so just be aware. I just don't want to confuse anybody. It was the best description I had at the time the packets were put together of what the work might include, so just be aware of that. There's other things we've got to figure out about managing the project, so don't worry too much about that. It was just put in there for information. I probably should have just let it go, but wanted to make sure no one's confused about that. So, and that's, I think, that's all we have right now. So the, I mean, I guess we'll look at at the storage of the copper and the stipulated agreement, see what we can do. And like I said, I'll be working on if anybody has any knowledge or recommendations of mitigation documentation, like a HAPS here type.
And would the cost of that be included in whatever lien is put on the property?
Yes.
Okay. The cost of, I'm sorry?
Having somebody document the deconstruction.
I would think so.
But just for clarity, can you comment about the option of confiscation of the copper is not in the cards?
Me taking it?
I'm presuming not.
We take it? The city take it?
Or just that it's stored somewhere where it might be more safe. I think that.
I think storing it is different than, you know, having it as part of our possession. There is some things in the state law, like if somehow we ended up doing the roof and that kind of thing, that if we somehow, you know, took possession of the copper, that we'd basically have to credit back what it's worth to the so. But I think, you know, Ruben and I can look at that language in the draft agreement and see if there's something we can put in there that they would, you know, agree to store it in some kind of secured manner. I think you're right. I mean, it didn't look like there were, you know, people in there, but I know recently we were called out there because it looked like somebody was trying to get in. So I think you guys are right that just because nobody was in there today doesn't mean that, you know, on a weekly basis people aren't trying to get in there. So
I can say, I mean, not the, you know, the, I know, but I have not, the several times I've been through the building, you know, I've been periodically through the building for different reasons, a few times this year, I guess, I have not seen any evidence whatsoever of people camping outside the building. That's not to say that somebody doesn't break in tomorrow and get in there, but it's not like the Elks, for instance, where whenever I went in there, I saw evidence of people or people. I've been in a number of vacant buildings where there's people squatting, and I have not seen that. The building seems to be pretty secure most of the time, so someone did break a window near one of the entries, though, a few weeks ago. But, I mean, there's not trash or, you know, garbage, that kind of thing, so.
But, you know, all it would take would be a News Tribune article that mentions the fact that the copper's being stored at the basement.
That's exactly right. That's what I was thinking, is that if there's some way to execute this with discretion in terms of where it's being stored, I would recommend that.
This was a briefing. So
should we come back to the National Register review? Do we?
Thank you.
Yes.
We don't.
You vote
to represent.
No, you don't. This is a procedural. For folks who haven't, I don't know if anybody hasn't done one of these before, but the National Register review process requires that there's a local jurisdiction that has a historic commission, that the historic commission be allowed to comment, well, not even comment actually, but support the nomination if either an elected official, elected body of officials, or the Heritage Commission in any jurisdiction support the nomination, then the nomination goes forward. If city council disagreed with you, but you thought it should go forward, it would go forward. The only way to stop the nomination is for both of you to disagree. But the state is required to consult, the Advisory Council for Historic Preservation is required to consult with the Landmarks Commission. And so this is part of an ongoing long effort by, this school district and Historic Tacoma to bring their buildings that are historically significant to the historic register. Six schools now, six or seven schools that have been added to the local historic register. They've also been doing national register ones like Whitman Elementary, and this is as a mid-century building, and then Central School, a central administration building. And so this is just the latest one. And so really all it requires is a vote of the commission and support of the nomination. That's it. It's fairly straightforward. It's architecturally a distinctive building, very significant for a number of reasons, and collegiate Gothic, Heath, those kinds of things, school district history, school philosophy, school architecture. And so at any rate, I'll just be quiet.
And so the building is currently on the city register, right?
No, it is not.
Oh, it is not.
I don't think so, unless it was rather recently. I don't think it is, though. No, it might be. I'm sorry.
So are they listing some? The local register, and then there's the national register.
The listing process has gone through the school board review process, and so it kind of dovetails in with their overall preservation plan of, you know, they're moving things forward as it can. So
I have no way of knowing this, but other than knowing how Caroline Swope, who has been working with the school district, has told me about the schools, was that they were moving to put them on the city register, and then they would move on to the national register and so forth. So I'm kind of surprised if this isn't on the city register.
I'm just confirming that right now. Because it just has slipped my mind.
Just interesting to know, because it's clearly eligible for the national register, in my opinion. So. And it was a nicely written nomination.
Are there is it different benchmarks that need to be met in order for it to meet national versus?
It is on the school register. I'm sorry.
Well, it would be. I'm assuming I look at it again, but it's the national register, but it would be at the local level of significance.
Okay.
So. Yes, that was added on in 2010. I'm sorry.
The state and federal registers require usually a fair amount more work than the local register does, just in terms of documentation and so forth. So
okay.
It's more of the package is larger, not necessarily.
The significance is not necessarily larger, okay, or greater.
Did I answer that question appropriately?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I was just, I think you heard me. It is on the local register. We had it in 2010. We batched a bunch of them together, so it just.
Someone care to make a motion to recommend?
I move that the Tacoma Landmarks Preservation Commission recommend the nomination of the Central Elementary School to the National Register of Historic Places.
It's moved. Is there a second? Second by Commissioner York and motion by Commissioner Chase. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. Motion's approved. And that takes us to chair comments. I have none in board business.
I have a couple things.
Okay.
I sent everybody an email today, but just to let you know that final reading of the Historic Property Maintenance Code, otherwise known as the Demolition by Neglect Prevention Code, will occur next Tuesday. I presented to council yesterday, and fine. There were no concerns or questions, and so it looks pretty good. If anybody feels compelled to, it's it'd be wonderful to have some supporting comments at council next week. Note of that. Secondly, just an update. I want to let the commission know that I'm planning to have the Tacoma totem pole back to the commission on the 25th, our next meeting, and that will be a meeting to look at the structural stabilization of the pole. There's an engineering design that's nearing completion for it, and so per the commission's direction earlier this summer, we're coming back with the plan to stabilize in place. So, wait for that.
Great. Anything else?
I have an announcement, or just a, I don't know. It relates to a landmark building, but there's the Weyerhaeuser Mansion property at 43rd and Stevens is down the street from me, and I have spoken to Ruben about this, and this is just kind of a in the loop because it is a landmark building. But there's a catering company that has been using the building to run events, and they've been using the building for up to 200 people, and there's been alcohol and amplified noise and a lot of things that have been a change of use from what it was previously. There have been weddings there since the 1980s, but they never had alcohol and amplified music before. So it's been a little bit of a switch. And now the catering company that's been using it wants to buy it, or at least they've put a bid in to buy it, and so to use it as an event venue full-time, which would be a good way to use the building, or it would be one way for the building to get use. The neighborhood is not entirely in favor of the building being used by the company in this fashion, since they haven't really shown a lot of respect in the neighborhood thus far. And so I'm just saying this basically because it's a landmark, and if you all live in the neighborhood, I don't know anybody off the hand who does, but if you live there, if you're interested in it, let me know, because we're trying to follow them through the conditional use permit process that the company, excuse me, now has to go through to get the permit so that they can use it as that particular type of venue when they buy the building. There's also discussion to build a really big parking lot on the hillside below the mansion, which we're not sure how that's going to work because I think it's also a wetlands. And then there are a couple other proposals. If this one falls through, there's an assisted living place that's been looking at it with the idea of constructing a new assisted living facility in that acreage below on the hillside. Just FYI.
That's something for the commission maybe even just to be aware of. I mean, I think, I don't know if everybody's been tracking this, but the property, you know, it was a Baptist seminary since the mid-century, and recently they merged with another university and relocated their operations to Seattle, I think it was. And so the building has been for sale for probably 4 years. Three or four years.
It's been that long.
I think it has.
Maybe it's been 3 years because it's been used by this catering company for two.
So, and you know, it was originally listed at $8 million. They came down, I think, six or something like that.
It's 1.5.
And so it's much cheaper now. at any rate, but most of the proposals that I've heard floated, you know, they include a change of use, but they also include a lot of them, some sort of construction on the property. There's a dormitory kitchen building on the site that some plans would remove, which is not historic, it's not contributing. The chapel also on the property is not considered a contributing building, but then there's lots of open space around there too, the parking schemes, additional construction. So the commission's probably going to see something about this building at some point in the coming years. Probably looks like sooner than maybe later at some point. And also if they're going to use a historic conditional use permit, that's a discretionary permit that relies on the building being a historic landmark in order to get, access the approved list of uses. And so as part of the conditional use permit process, I think people have been, at least from the neighborhood side, been aware of when other applicants have done this, there is opportunities for input. And it's a discretionary permit, so it's not a by right permit. So at any rate, so I'll keep an eye on it and keep you guys posted. Also,
just out of curiosity, is it just the main house that's on the register, or does it include some of the outbuildings as well?
The main house, the caretaker's cottage, the carriage house, the greenhouse.
Oh, the green. Okay.
Those things, the greenhouse, which has no glass in it.
Yeah. Cottage,
but. So those are the contributing. I think the chapel was built like in 1940 something, maybe. I'm not sure. Those buildings, I believe, in the dormitory, both date from the uses of seminary. And then so those, and they're called out as non-contributing, so we actually have the structures listed as contributing, but I would also consider, while the grounds aren't necessarily called out, they're part of the overall, property, and so indefinitely any new construction occurs in the property coming.